What are we living for? Are we living for ourselves or are we living for God? I want to talk about living for God tonight. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 6:11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Living for God. I have 4 points that I want to use tonight to illustrate what I'm talking about. First, I want to talk about, to live for God means death to sin and flesh must take place. Romans 6:11, the text says, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. Most people think that you can serve sin and at the same time live for God. But I'm here to tell you that that is contradicting God's word.
Right.
You must die to sin. What did the devil tell Eve? Ye shall not surely die. And to this day, he is saying those same words, deceiving many. There are people today who would believe the words of a serpent rather than the words of Almighty God. A child of God is not a servant to sin. That doesn't mean it's impossible for them to fall, but if they ever do fall, they get right back up. The Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Again, Romans 12:1-2 said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, wholly devoted to Him. This is reasonable service on our part, and that is acceptable unto Him. My next point, dying with Christ on His cross is essential for living for God. Galatians 2:20, our text again says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Matthew 10:38 says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You must take up the cross if you want to have a celestial crown in the end.
Right.
Let's get in our mind what a cross is. People in our present day think that a cross is just a wooden symbol that where those mean old Romans crucified criminals a long time ago. Oh, come on, what's a cross? It's a place where you die. It's a place where the most cruel, the most hurtful, inflicting death takes place.
Right.
Somebody said, I can't remember who said it, but he said, if you ever saw somebody being led out of Jerusalem's gates with a cross on his back, you can mark it down, he wasn't coming back.
Right.
And that's what happens to you if you're a born-again believer, is when you are crucified with Christ, you leave self on the cross. They saw the flesh leave, and they never saw the flesh return. When we as Christians set out on the pilgrim journey, we took up our cross, and we left self and the old man hanging.
Amen.
Mark 8:34 says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 10:38 says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The rich young ruler. What did Jesus find lacking in the rich young ruler? Well, let's find out. In Mark 10:17-22, it says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said, master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What did he lack? Did he lack the riches of the world, of this world? No, he had plenty of that. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me. Jesus knew what he lacked. He lacked the carrying of a cross. But the rich young ruler was not fond of that idea. As we accept the name of Christ, we must bear His cross on our backs.
Right.
No one is forced. But if any will be a Christian, it must be on these terms. First, that he deny himself. Second, that he take up his cross. And third, that he follows Christ wherever he goes. We can make swift progress in the spiritual life if we are faithful in this daily practice, carrying our cross.
Amen.
It is a command of Christ to carry our cross, to deny ourselves so that Jesus could reign in our hearts without disruption, so that He can reign wholly in our lives, and then follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Through the sunshine or through the storm, we must devote to following Him wherever, whatever the weather in the spiritual realm. A song we often sing around here, dying with Jesus by death reckoned mine, living for Jesus, a new life divine. And that's what I'm saying tonight in a nutshell. Death must come to sin, the flesh, and ourselves, which leads us to our next point. Number three, the old life, the old man, and the flesh must be put to death. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Put off the old man with his deeds. In order for the new man to be in us, the old man must be crucified.
Yes.
It is vain for a man to profess conformity to Christ while in the flesh, while he is unchanged in his heart and life, and dead in trespasses and sin. For he that is in Christ is a Christian. Having Christ dwelling in his heart, he is a new creature. His old state is changed. He was a child of Satan. He is now a child of God. He was a slave of sin, and his works were death. He is now made free from sin, and he is now and has his fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. He was before full of pride and wrath. He is now making humble. Formerly he had his portion in this life and lived for this world alone. He now has God for his portion, and he looks not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are eternal. Therefore old things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Repeating the question, what are we living for? Why are we living? What is our purpose here on earth? Well, first of all, if we're Christians, we should be living for God's glory. We are breathing His air and walking on His green earth. So we better be using our time wisely here on earth for our captain, our king. We are marching on His battlefield. So let us be soldiers of the cross and not warriors for the kingdom of this world. Because if we are not all on the side of the cross, we are definitely soldiers of the kingdom of the darkness.
Right.
Let 2015 be a turning point in our lives. Let's slay self in our lives and let Jesus reign in our hearts. If we are living for anything else but for God's glory, then we are living in vain and are living for the devil. We are on God's side of the battlefield or are we on Satan? There's no neutral zone. Which side are you on? Would Jesus find us fighting on His side and anticipating His return if He came tonight? Acts 17:28 says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Number five, I'm going to leave us with a challenge. 2015, challenge. 2014 is about dead, and 2015 will be here in a few hours. I'm going to leave us with a challenge. As we have heard so often, do we honestly want a repeat of last year? I know I don't. I know I want to be more conformed to His image.
Man.
Are we living for God? Honestly. Or are we living for ourselves? Are we wanting to reach our own agenda? Is there anything in the way of God in our lives? Is our love for God growing cold? Last year we had a New Year's Eve like this one. And that year, we all made a commitment to earnestly contend for the faith. We prayed out the old year and into the new year, like we will tonight. We all said that we would be a pillar in the house of God. And do you think that your commitment stood up and is still standing? I pray so. Let us honestly evaluate ourselves. Last year, we all made promises. Well, at least I hope you did. To fight for the cause of right. Did we fail at that promise? God forbid. There were faces that were there that night, and the New Year's before that, and the New Year's before that, and the one before that are not here tonight. God forbid that any in this group would slip away as those others. I pray that there is no one among us that are looking for the leeks and the garlics, looking back into Egypt.
Amen.
God warns us of a great falling away.
Right.
2 Peter 3, 3-5 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Same chapter, verse 17 through 18 says, Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Then the same passage Titus read in Revelation 3:14. And unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold nor hot. So then, because that thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I pray that that would not once be named among us.
Amen.
I hope that this year we resolve to do God's perfect will and not to fail Him. I hope that the people that are here this night will be here next New Year's Eve, and the one after that, and the one after that, until Jesus returns. And that we would only be more conformed to the image of Christ. True, it is a hard road, but in the end it will be worth it all. It's easy to say, but not easy to do. Yet God gives grace. Grace is available to all who are willing to walk with God and live for His glory.
Amen.
Peace.